remind everybody, if you call, you're more than likely going to get a hold of me. And just give me your name and your phone number, and if Bill's available, I'll get him on the phone for you. If not, I'll certainly get your message to him. And as Bill said, please don't try to give me second and third hand information. Just give me the topic that it's about and a source that we can contact to verify it, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, whether it's address or phone number or whatever, and just give her, you know, a short description of what it's about. If you want me to call you, same thing. I need to know what it's about. I just don't return calls unless it's really important, simply because we can't afford the phone bill to be able to be doing that all the time. And I'm sure that you all understand that. I don't know, how many calls do we get every day? A whole bunch, I know that.
Oh, I average around 20 a day at the minimum.
So that's, you know, that folks, that's an awful lot of calls to return. And if we return every call that we get every day, then what we have is a phone bill that we can't pay. Why don't you give everybody the number and the fax number? And, you know, if you really, I have to make everybody understand this. If you have information, don't call and ask if you should send it. Our policy is we want all information from every source all the time. So if you have something, just send it. Put it in the mail. Make a copy or send the original. We don't care. If you're sending newspaper articles, remember, it has to have the name of the paper, the date that the paper was published, and the page that the article appeared on. Don't just clip out an article and send it because it means nothing without the name of the paper, the date that the paper came out, and the page in the paper that the article upon which the article appeared. And the same with anything else. Don't just copy pages out of a book. We have to know exactly what book it was, what edition, who published it, who wrote it, all of that kind of stuff. If we don't have that information, then what you send us is no good. It has to go in the trash can because we can't use it, because we can't tell where it came from. Information without a source is absolutely no good to us, period. So remember that. But any information you have, whether it's an audio tape, a videotape, copied information from books, newspapers, or whatever, government documents, anything, don't call and ask if you should send it. Just send it. Trust in God and just do it. That's our rule, right?
That's right. And send it to Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. And the phone number is 520-333-4578. Again, that is 520-333-4578. That is also the fax line. If you call and you're waiting for the computer to give you a beep, you're going to have to let me know so I can punch in a code for the computer to switch over sometimes.
Yeah, the best way to do it is just send the fax. The computer will automatically determine if it's a voice call or a fax call, and it will receive the fax without you having to be on the line. Gee, we have a phone call. Let's see who's on the line. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Well, it looks like whoever was on the phone is not on the phone now. So, am I doing something wrong? I don't think so. I don't think so. Nope. There is nobody there. Okay. We'll hang up the phone then. The number, in case you want to call, is 520-333-4578. When we're on the air taking calls, that is the call-in number. When we're not taking calls, that is Connie's number. And it's also our fax number. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, there's something wrong here. I don't know what it is. Let me see if I can figure it out. That's
really good.
Hello?
Well, listening to you, believe me. Just that I'm trying to move a couple people in my direction over here in Miami to get off their duff and start listening to you and start shaking some things up here, you know?
Oh, great.
At any rate, what I'm doing is that I'm even going so far as getting little portable shortwave radios, and I have a little card that's printed up. This is your name, when you're on, what station it is, and everything else. I said, just listen to them, you know, and let the numbers take care of themselves. Just thought you'd be interested in that, you know?
Well, that's great, and that's a wonderful idea. In fact, for young people, it's a great gift to give a shortwave radio and turn them on to the hour of the time. The future belongs to them. We're all going to be gone here.
Oh, really?
In a few more years. And if we don't awaken the young people to what's happening and get them in this fight, then they're the ones who are going to live to live in the slavery of the New World Order.
It's just true. There's just so much apathy. But there's a lot of productive and creative people out there and people that are in positions of authority that if they start listening and being advised of just exactly what's going on here, they're going to do something, you know? We'll make more inroads that way.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you talk to some other people. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
God bless you, too. Okay, the number is 520-333-4578. We'll be taking calls through this hour, through both hours, as a matter of fact, unless we're reading something here. Just to give you an idea of the kinds of disinformation or just blatant lies that circulate out there, remember Stanton T. Friedman, the nuclear physicist, who for the last 25 years has been running around the country telling everybody that UFOs are real and they come from outer space and we've all got to come together as one world government in order to oppose this threat. And he always ends his talks with, well, you know, we all have to come together because who speaks for planet Earth? Afghanistan? Anyway, here's the latest from Stanton T. Friedman, and he put this out as a press release. It says, for immediate release from Stanton Friedman, 11 January 1997, Telstar 401 missing from orbit. He says, quote, scientists at AT&T are still scratching their heads, wondering what might have happened to their multi-million-dollar geosynchronous communication satellite, Telstar 401. That disappeared from its Earth orbit early Saturday. No signs of impending problems were detected, and all circuits were functioning normal when suddenly all signals coming from the bird just stopped. The North American Air Defense Command, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado, did report a large unknown object near the position of Telstar 401 just moments before the satellite quit working. It looked like a large meteor closing in on 401, said NORAD Commander Major General John Yancey, Jr. However, on the next sweep of the tracking radar, there was nothing there. No meteor, no satellite, and no debris. We don't know what happened, but if the two bodies had collided, we would expect to see some debris left behind. NORAD is responsible for tracking objects in space and knows the location of tons of space debris, as small as a few centimeters in size. We need to locate and plot the space debris to protect other satellites and, most importantly, manned space shuttle, Yancey said. Atlantis is scheduled to blast off, so we were in the process of taking a final look around at orbit in object close in on Telstar 401. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. When asked if he thought the satellite was destroyed by unfriendly forces, the general laughed and said, no, I don't think so. Nothing that exciting ever happens on my ship. Meanwhile, AT&T customers, including the Fox Television Network, were scrambling around Saturday making arrangements to move their satellite-based program to other satellites. Expect the worst, one AT&T spokesman said. It's gone forever. Well, folks, what do you think the truth is? Let's go to the phone. What do you think the truth is, Connie?
Oh, I think that it probably got hit by sunspot activity.
Wow, you're pretty smart. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Well, whoever was on the phone hung up. Don't call if you're not willing to wait until we get to your call, folks. The number is 520-333-4578. Call and tell us, what do you think the truth is? I'm not going to tell you what the truth is for a little while. I want to hear what some of you listeners think happened to Telstar 401. So give us a call right now and tell us what you think. Some of you know. I know you know if you listen to Friday Night Live and Gary Bourgeois, because he already told you. If you don't listen to Friday Night Live and Gary Bourgeois, you may know. I don't know if you do or not. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. I believe that that UFO webpage that your Mr. Stanton has is just like about 50 other ones that are trying to project this phony baloney alien crap.
Well, you got that right. But what do you think happened to Telstar 401?
Probably had a malfunction. Or there might have been that that solar flare or that whatever happened from the sun here recently.
You're pretty smart, too. You think it disappeared from orbit?
No, it's out there.
Yeah, you bet your life it is. Okay, thanks for calling. Anything else you want to say? Well, I guess not. Okay. Yeah, that's right, folks. The truth about it is Stanton T. Friedman, once again, the nuclear physicist, has nuked the sheeple. He's dropped a big one on them. The satellite is not gone. It's still up there in orbit. We checked with NORAD. They said no such thing happened. There was nothing near Telstar 401 when it disappeared, and it didn't disappear. It just shut down. Its circuits were fried by a huge, unbelievable solar flare, the likes of which has never been seen before. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello there.
Yes?
This is Bob from New Jersey.
Hi, Bob.
I don't know. I thought maybe that its little attitude thrusters or whatever they used to keep it in position might have just run out of fuel.
No, as a matter of fact, it just got fried by a solar flare. It didn't go anywhere. Now it is.
Well, I figured one of those two things, but I knew it dropped out of orbit for one reason or another.
Well, it hasn't dropped out of orbit. It just has gone silent.
Oh, okay.
It's just not working anymore.
Well, that's interesting. I was in Gary's show Friday night, but I didn't listen to all of it. I was doing other things.
Yeah, and eventually it will deviate from its orbit and go off in another direction simply because they can't communicate with it, and therefore they cannot correct for deviations. And but people have even seen it with telescopes. It's still there. It's just not broadcasting. And it's not accepting communications. It's not working at all because the biggest solar flare on record that scientists have ever measured came from the sun. And while these huge flares usually miss the Earth, this one hit us dead on. And it just fried that satellite and confidentially several others that the government is not talking about. Some of them are some of the older spy satellites and... well, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, good.
Absolutely.
We need them anyway.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
So you can take another nuke from the Stanton T. Friedman nuclear physicist and dump it in your trash can. The benevolent space brothers and the wicked little grays and all of these other extraterrestrial little bad guys did not come and take a satellite away from AT&T. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing? This is Tom from New Jersey.
Hi, Tom.
I saw some of the worst misinformation propaganda I've ever seen, ever. It was on a program called Real TV. What they were showing appeared to me like old nuclear bomb footage, like buildings disintegrating, planes disintegrating, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And that they were saying that they were films of ammonium nitrate fertilizer tests that the government was doing. We're talking mushroom clouds and everything.
Oh, really?
I had all intentions of taping it and sending it out to you.
Well, I wish that you had.
It repeats again tonight.
Would you tape it and send us a copy?
Oh, absolutely. You got to see this. You'll die.
Yeah, please, because we love to collect the propaganda and then prove what it really is and then throw it back in their faces, and then they have to eat crow.
I mean, if this doesn't prove we're being lied to about Oklahoma City, nothing does.
Well, I got to tell you, there is so much proof that Oklahoma City is a lie and was really perpetrated by other than who they say it was. That it's absolutely amazing that there are people who still believe what they're saying, but there are.
It's just mounting and mounting. Hopefully, you can pass this on to Michelle. I'm sure she could use it too.
I certainly will.
Okay, Bill. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Ooh, it's 333. I think we got to do something here. What are we going to do? We got to do this. Okay, let's do this.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Mermaid Minnie, met her down in Madagascar. She would kiss me anytime that I would ask her. Then one evening, her flame of love blew out. Blow me down and pick me up, she swapped me for a trout.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
There was Typhoon Tessie, met her on the coast of Java. When we kissed, I bubbled up like molten lava. Then she gave me the scare of my young life. Blow me down and pick me up, she was the captain's wife.
Got a whale of a tale to tell this night, a whale of a tale or two, about the fat temptation and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
Then there was Harpoon Hannah, had a look that spelled out danger. My heart quivered when she whispered, I'm there, stranger. Bought her trinkets that sailors can't afford.
Sailors can't afford.
And when I spent my last red cent, she tossed me overboard.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, of the flapping fish and the girls I've loved, nights like this with the moon above.
Well, Stanton Friedman wrote that song, ladies and gentlemen. Ah, I'm sorry. No, he really didn't. I don't know who did, but good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, good to hear you again.
Hello, who is this?
This is Bob in Boston.
Hello, Bob in Boston.
You know, Mr. Friedman has a knack for criticizing other websites for charging money and merchandising, and then he turns around and wants to sell you some videotapes.
That's because he's the mad Marxist. He doesn't believe in the American dream or in capitalism or that you should be able to gain any reward for your work that you do.
I think he's a big hypocrite.
Well, he is. He's a big socialist, too.
Let me ask you, on your Kazi webpage, if I sign up for that, what am I going to get access to?
You don't have to sign up to the webpage. You can go there right now.
But you have a restriction unless you're a member of the CAD here
again. No. The web page, anybody can go to the web page and download the files and all the kind, everything that's there. The restriction is on the CAD mailing list, which is a closed list available only to CAD and intelligence service members only. It is a place where the most incredible documented and sourced information is posted by the intelligence operatives and the members of the CAD News Service, and it's just available to those people. If you're a member of CAD or the intelligence service, you can have access to the list. Otherwise, no.
Okay, so what you're posting is a variety of information. What I'm interested in is current updates as to what's happening in this country as far as the gradual implementation of a military-type takeover.
That's what the CAD list is. It is intelligence reports from all of our people everywhere.
Well, I commend you on updating your webpage. You're putting new information out there quite frequently.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not doing it. I don't have time to do it. But I can't tell you who is doing it. All I can tell you is they're doing a great job, and we've wanted to have a webpage for a long time. I didn't have the time or the knowledge to be able to do it. So some of our IS service members, intelligence service members, have put it together and are maintaining it.
Well, I salute you all and all that you're doing, and God bless your efforts tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Yeah, folks, I cannot take the credit for the webpage and will not. It's not my doing, although it is my stuff, and it is nothing goes on it unless it's approved by me. And it's just a wonderful web page. It so far exceeded any expectations that I had that I am just so pleased with it. And I understand that everybody who's visited the web page is also pleased. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, or good afternoon there, Bill. This is Mike from Southwest Florida. My mom went out in the backyard and found Telstar 401. She picked it up, turned it over, and it says, made in Malaysia or made in China with slave labor.
Well, it may have been. GE made it. General Electric made it.
on a more serious note, is it possible if I drop you a line that there might be some kind of brief outline I can get from you on how to start up a militia in Henry County down here?
We don't have anything like that right now. However...
So I don't make no mistakes, and I don't become a fool. Just ignorance all out here trying to get it started right. I went to a meeting last night, and they want to have an all-Christian militia and allow only Christians in. And I said, that just don't fly.
No, that's not a militia. That is that is a religious army.
I know.
That's an army of their Christian church. That is illegal. It is unlawful. It is unconstitutional.
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd listen to them before I put my rubber stamp and I mulled it over all day today, and that's not for me.
Yeah, stay away from that. The legitimate militia is defined by law, and the militia is made up of every single person who is described as a member of the militia under the law. Most Americans don't even know they're members of the militia.
Well, okay. Hey, here's...
Did you realize, Connie, who was in the militia before you came to work here?
No, I did not. To be truthful, I believed what the radio and newspaper were shoving down my throat, and I thought it was a bunch of people that had submachine guns and were racist and were fanatics.
And are there any racists in this militia?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Any machine gun toting people?
I don't think so, no.
No, of course not. And you found out that your husband is a member of the militia, and he didn't even know it, neither did you, did you?
That's right.
So, there you go.
Do you recommend loyalty oath for everyone going in?
Absolutely. This
like
whole
the front of your book, could we use that as an outline?
Certainly. Yes, you can. Just, that is specifically aimed at people who gather intelligence. But
I know. We'll delete that and put Henry County in instead.
Sure.
Thank you a lot, and God bless you, and keep up the great work.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
And I was going to say that if you go to our webpage, there is a huge section on the militia, which includes the pertinent excerpts from the Constitution for the United States of America and the Constitution of all 50 states of the Union. There's only one additional thing that you personally will have to do, and that is go into the statutes at large of your state and find the particular laws pertaining to the militia, and make sure that when you form your militia, you form it as an unorganized militia, and you do it under the article in the Constitution that gives all rights all powers not specifically taken by the federal government or granted to the federal government by the Constitution or taken by the state to the people. And as long as you don't do anything illegal or unlawful, it is perfectly, not only okay, but it is your duty to be a part of a lawfully formed militia and to keep and bear arms in defense of yourself, your family, your community, your county, your state, and the Constitution for your state and the Constitution for the United States of America. So, you can start anytime you want. And the first thing that I would recommend that you do is get the tapes that we have done on the Hour of the Time concerning the militia. All of the laws and the legal ins and outs are all explained on those tapes. And then pay a visit to the webpage. Let me give you the address of the webpage right now. Everybody write this down. Whether you've got a computer or not, I know you know someone who does and probably has access to the Internet. So you can go over to their house, give them this web page address, and tell them or ask them politely, if you don't have your own computer, if they would allow you or show you how or do it themselves, take you to our web page and let you browse around on it for a while. It's quite extensive. There's an awful lot there. And there's links to other places where you can go and do research. You can access the entire United States Code from our webpage, and much, much more that you don't even have any idea about. So here it is. Write this down. http://www.telepath.com/BELIEVER. Once again, http://www.telepath.com/believer. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Boy, you are hard to get a hold of.
Really? Oh, this is Gary.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hi, Gary. I tried to call you earlier, and you weren't in, so I just assumed that you would be out and weren't going to do the show.
Yeah, no. I've been here all day. It's just that sometimes I can't always get to the phone. Boy, Mr. Friedman, I'll tell you what. That guy is a piece of work.
Isn't he? Well, he's a nuclear physicist.
Oh, yes. Of course he is. Well, we started researching this program, our news team that we have over here, 15 minutes after the satellite stopped transmitting.
Uh-huh.
And we had a lot of information already by 9 o'clock in the morning. We know somebody who works in the control room at Hawley, Pennsylvania, which is where the control center is. There's also one in New Jersey, but the one that was in control at that time was in Hawley, Pennsylvania. And there are a number of interesting things regarding that failure. Of course, everything that you have reported so far is totally true. We have other verified tidbits that further add to it. First of all, the satellite is there. It has been observed with a telescope. It is slowly rotating once every 15 minutes. Now, that could have been caused by the failure of the momentum wheels, which spin like gyroscopes to keep the satellite going. But we believe what happened, because we heard that AT&T pushed a button. That time of the morning is routine station keeping time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that at the very moment the satellite failed, which was exactly 15 minutes after 6 a.m., 15 minutes after 3 Pacific, that was when they were doing a course correction. Now, what we believe, after putting all of the data together, we've talked to magnetic scientists at various observatories, we've talked to AT&T, we've talked to people at all of the networks, is that when AT&T pushed that button, that is what triggered the failure, because the panels, the what we call the wings, which are the solar panels, were heavily charged with static electricity. Now, I can further verify the magnetic storm because I noticed it 3 hours before the satellite failed. I was laying in bed and couldn't sleep, so I turned on my Sangean ATS 909, which is a little shortwave radio that we used to pick you up and listening to shortwave. And I went through all of my memory channels, and doggone it, if the shortwave band wasn't totally dead, I thought, gee, that's really strange. So I thought, well, I'll listen to AM band and tune around on there. And for the first time that I can remember, the AM broadcast band was also totally dead. And the only thing that can cause that is if the other layer of the ionosphere has been wiped out,
mm-hmm.
which brings you over to daytime conditions. And that can only be caused by an extremely massive failure of the ionosphere, which only occurs during tremendous solar storms. And I can only remember like one or two other times in my life that this has happened where everything was totally dead. All HF and MF radio was totally unusable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. We verified that the magnetic storm was there. Interestingly, AT&T, this is a riot, does not monitor the magnetic conditions. The scientists called them because they were wondering why AT&T hadn't called, and it just never occurred to them.
So if they had not pushed that button to do their course
correction, that satellite would still be there today.
Right. So they're applying power to the electrical circuits
right.
at the same time that the solar flare hit is what fried the satellite.
Well, it's interesting that I have a press release here from AT&T itself that was released right before the satellite was launched, where they were bragging up this new hot spark ignition system, which was used for the thrusters.
Uh-huh.
Now, you have a hot spark, and that's all it takes to blow things up. It just triggered enough of a overload on the system that and the failure that we have that has been pretty much reported is they call it a power bus short.
Uh-huh.
Now the power bus is like the electrical box in your home. The whole thing is shorted out, so even if the panels are producing electricity, they're feeding it into a dead short. The satellite is unrecoverable. They are making plans to move the old 302 satellite to that position, and the Telstar 5, which goes up later this year, will take over at 97 degrees. Of course, already AT&T and Fox and just about everybody else says they don't want to go back there. So what AT&T is going to do with stuff at that position, we don't know. We know that there's going to be a Latin American, no, it's not Latin American, it's one of those small dish systems is going to take the KU band away.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the report that we had on Friday, and I want to thank all of our Friday Night Live news reporters. We have people, by the way, just like you do with Kaji, that I would love to give credit to, but because of the position that they are in, we can't mention their names, including our chief editor.
They'd be fired.
So it's not that I don't want to give credit. It's that these people won't let me do it. Our reporters. So
yeah.
When it comes to anything to do with satellites, I would say we have the best news team on the planet because we had the story before anyone else did. And when we first put out the magnetic story, nobody else had touched it. One of the news services that listens to our program, and we know that they listen, they put it out on their network, and it eventually made it all the way to CNN. But initially, they were saying all kinds of disinformation. It was hit by a meteorite and all of this other crazy stuff.
What do you think about
it? It sounded good to whoever was writing the news at the time, and I never had any respect for the news agencies, but when it comes to something like this that I have personal knowledge of, it just really upsets me, and that's why I pay no attention to anything that they say.
Yeah. What do you think about Stanton T. Friedman, nuclear physicist? What do you think about Stanton T. Friedman, nuclear physicist's assertion that that NORAD claims that there was something sneaking up on this satellite at the time that it went silent?
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't have that story until you sent it to me last week. And I would, except that I already know that it's bogus, but if I had gotten that earlier when we were still doing the investigation, I would have put somebody on it and talked to the NORAD guy, and he would have debunked that right away.
Yeah, that's what we did. We talked directly to NORAD, and they said not only did it not occur, but nobody who works for NORAD ever made any such statement
right.
like that.
Yeah, that's the same thing we would have done, and of course that's the thing that you do there. But anyway, that's the story on Telstar 401. Now, good news for owners of the big satellite dishes, and if you don't listen to our program, you may have missed this, but tomorrow night, they are going to launch the second in the high-powered GE satellites, like this one we're on, GE-1.
Uh-huh.
GE-2 will be launched tomorrow night. It will be going to 83 degrees west, which is the same place where K-2 is now located, and it's no longer in use. That's a KU-band satellite. This will be two bands, C and KU-band. And GE-2 hopefully should be online within a month, if it isn't abducted by the Space Brothers.
Of course. And
okay, Bill, great show. I'll keep listening. I want to hear some more callers.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary was supposed to be a part of this broadcast today and would have started out the hour, except I couldn't reach him just before we went on the air. And so I assumed that he was not home and could not get home in time for the broadcast. Gary is the technical advisor for the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network and all of our affiliates. He also has a two-hour broadcast on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network on Friday night, which is, if you're into technical things and satellite dishes and low-power FM broadcasting and AM broadcasting and just anything electronic, you should be listening to Friday Night Live every Friday from 6 till 8 Pacific, 7 until 9 Mountain, 8 until 10 Central, 9 until 11 Eastern Standard Time, which it's a fantastic broadcast. I usually listen to it. Sometimes I can't. I wasn't able to listen last Friday, and sometimes I'm just not able to listen. But whenever I can, I always listen to Gary's broadcast.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. My mom wants me to tell you that the militia transcripts will be put on the website tonight, and they will be downloadable.
Fantastic. This is Anna, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
We miss you.
Hmm.
Pooh misses you a lot.
I'm not surprised. I miss her, too.
Pardon?
Miss her, too.
Great. I'll tell her that. I don't think she's listening to this broadcast. I think she's up doing her spelling lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Anna.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, folks, you heard it. The militia transcripts of the hour of the time will be on the webpage sometime later tonight. So for those of you who want to get to them first, don't miss it. Well, Stanton T. Friedman, nuclear physicist, this is dedicated to you. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
But, Peter, how do we get to Neverland?
Fly, of course.
Fly?
It's easy. You think of a wonderful thought.
Any happy little thought?
Uh-huh.
Like toys at Christmas? Play them? No?
Yeah. Watch me now. Here I go. It's easier to fly.
He can fly!
He flew! Now you try.
I'll think of a mermaid lagoon. Underneath a magic moon. Oh, I'm in a pirate
game. I think I'll be an engine boy.
Now everybody try. One, two, three.
We can fly!
This won't do. What's the matter with you? All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust.
Dust?
Dust.
Yup. Just a little bit of pixie dust. Now, think of the happiest thing. It's the same as having rain.
Let's all try
it. Just once more.
We're rising off the floor.
Jim, I mean.
Oh, my. We can fly.
Come on, everybody. Here we go. Up to Neverland.
Think of a wonderful thought. Any merry little thought.
There it is, Wendy. Take a start to the right and straight on till morning.
when there's a smile in your heart, there's no better time to start. Think of all the joy you'll find when you leave the world behind and give your kids goodbye.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Welcome back to the Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the closing music. That was I think it was Stanton and the Ufologists doing their version of "If You're a Nuclear Physicist, You Can Fly." Well, there's somebody on the phone who's been waiting for a while. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Hello. It's Neil.
Hello, Neil.
And I'm glad to hear you back on the air. I'm sure I've missed you. And I just recently found out you're back on it.
How'd you find out?
Well, someone said you don't like too much, said you was back on.
Somebody I don't like too much, who's that?
Quarantine.
Oh.
Yeah, they told on the radio where you's at.
Yeah. He tried to ambush me in the bathroom in Michigan. That'll tell you what kind of a guy he is.
Oh. But I didn't know all this stuff was going on for years, but at least it's kind of helped me listen to everybody. I took up in the last few years about it.
Yeah, but just be careful that, you remember what I tell you, listen to everyone, read everything, but don't believe a word of any of it unless you personally research it and prove that it's true yourself.
I got that book, Renee, Nice Moon to Marissa, from you.
Yeah, isn't that something? Years.
And after I read it, you know, it kind of shot me down what I thought of the space program and everything, you know.
Well, it happened to all of us.
It did. And you remember last year when this Shannon Lucid went up and they kept up for 6 months?
What was that now?
This Shannon Lucid that went in orbit in the shuttle here.
Yes.
Something they kept up for 6 months in the Mir space station.
Uh-huh.
The first little conference they gave as soon as they got in orbit, her first words was, the view of the stars was fantastic. And, you know, I was sitting there looking at that, and they said it right on TV, and she said it, you know, and after that, it was like 5 or 6 months. But,
well, don't you know that you know.
Well, you know, she's seen them, but like in that book said, all the rest of them couldn't see a thing when they went up there.
If you can see a star with your eyes in space anywhere, you can see it with a camera. There are no stars in any of the photographs taken by
right. The
astronauts on the moon. And the reason why is because they could not fix a planetarium-like atmosphere in the studio where they made all those pictures and videotapes and films that would reflect the accurate positions of the stars.
Yeah.
And they knew that there are enough of us out here who know how to track the stars, and enough amateur astronomers that it would have been proven to be fake photography within hours after they were released.
Yeah, it wasn't that funny. You could see them then right there, and all them other ones couldn't see it that went to the moon.
Yeah.
I thought that was awful. And they cut her up for 6 months, though. I guess they told her to
that. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I thought that was the biggest thing. You know, I just read that book. I've been looking at some old books, see if I could find pictures with the rocks turned over with numbers on them or anything. You know, I don't make any use books that have them.
Well, you'd be surprised how really inefficient and dumb these people are. You can go through all of the books that NASA's put out that have official NASA photographs in them.
Yeah.
And make sure those are the only ones you ever use if you're going to use this material to prove that they're fake.
Yeah.
Because people will accuse you of inventing or manufacturing the photographs if you don't use NASA's own photographs that cannot be disputed. You'll be amazed how much you can find without any knowledge of photography, just using your brain.
Yeah, I thought that, boy, that just stirred me up when I see all these things now. It's amazing. But,
yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to me. I'll let you go.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right, Dale.
I just love it. Oh, yes. I really love it, that the fact that they think we're so stupid and we're exposing them on every front. Okay, well, yeah, we can do much more together than we can apart. Pooling our resources, helping each other. Join the intelligence service. Get busy. Don't be afraid to get on a list, folks. If you're not one of them, you're one of us. And if you're one of us, you're already on the list. You're going to be a slave in the New World Order. So you might as well be active. You might as well help us. Don't call for a while because I'm going to be reading something to you that I think you all should hear. And you can help us out. This is a review of the film, Waco, The Rules of Engagement. And this review was written by Sarah Thompson, M.D. And it is a fantastic film. And this is an excellent review, and we have permission to use it. It will also be in the next issue of Veritas, which will be in your mailbox sometime in February. And here we go. Executive producer Dan Gifford introduces his new documentary, Waco, The Rules of Engagement, which premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, by saying words to the effect that, quote, "This movie is about looking under rocks and finding what we never wanted to know," end quote. The result is an extremely disturbing film that should be required viewing for all Americans. Waco is a damning indictment of the BATF, the FBI, and the congressional hearings which allegedly investigated the disaster in which four ATF agents and 76 Branch Davidians were killed. Gifford and co-executive director Deborah Summer Gifford were inspired to make the film when they were presented with aerial forward-looking infrared, FLIR, or FLIR footage taken by FBI surveillance. The FLIR film provides answers to many of the previously unanswered questions about Waco. According to Gifford, this film footage had been offered to the major news networks and was rejected. The heart and mind of the film come from the never-before-released FLIR footage and home videos made by the Branch Davidians with a camera given to them by the FBI. That's the video, folks, that we sell as the last will and testament of the Branch Davidians. I continue. Accompanying them is extensive news footage of the events at Waco, C-SPAN tapes of the congressional hearings, transcripts of conversations between the Davidians and negotiators, and interviews with various experts and key participants in the disaster. The FLIR photography was taken by FBI planes flying over the Davidian compound to provide surveillance. The film, which looks like ordinary black and white film, actually measures heat, not light, and is thus able to provide a great deal of information about weapons fire as well as the inferno that destroyed the complex. Interpretation of the film is provided by an independent company. The FLIR footage shows conclusively that the FBI did fire on the Davidians despite their claims that, quote, "not a single bullet was ever fired," end quote, and that the catastrophic fire was started by the FBI firing grenades into the building after refilling it with the deadly and flammable CS powder methylene chloride mixture. It also provides strong evidence that the FBI stationed personnel with machine guns outside the only exit from the building, which, if true, indicates that the FBI's intent was to murder the Davidians, not to rescue hostages, end quote. Well, that's what I believed all the time, and remember the night when I was broadcasting from Waco, Texas, that I warned the entire world on the air that if we did not stop what was happening there immediately, all of those people in that church were going to be murdered. That very same night, they burned the radio station WWCR to the ground in an attempt to shut me up. I was off the air only 24 hours, resumed broadcasting on WRNO 24 hours later. It did not work. I continue. The FBI gave the Davidians a video camera and tapes to make videos of themselves, presumably to help the negotiators understand them better. These videos were never released because the FBI feared it would generate too much sympathy for the Davidians and David Koresh. And in fact, the video does refute the widely publicized image of Koresh as a crazed, charismatic, and controlling leader, not unlike Charles Manson, and of his followers as the wackos from Waco. In fact, we were the first ones to get a hold of that tape and make it available to the public, folks. And what it reveals is astounding. It will bring tears to your eyes as those people sit there and tell you why they're in there and why they won't come out. And they're not being held against their will, and they're just people like you and I, like your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And it just breaks your heart. And they show you their wounds that were inflicted upon them and talk about their dead fellow church members. And it's a tremendously moving video. I continue. While Koresh was certainly not your average American, he appears rational, intelligent, and committed to teaching his religious beliefs. His followers seem to be ordinary people on a spiritual quest, no different from many I've encountered in my own spiritual seeking. They did not appear to be brainwashed automatons or homicidal maniacs. Many were foreigners and ironically felt they would be safer studying religion in the United States. While sexual practices outside the norm did occur, they were consensual. And I'm going to break in here, folks, because I don't believe that those sexual practices are outside the norm. And I doubt that anybody would want me following them around with a video camera to record their own sexual practices, infidelity, and whatever else goes on. The truth is, among consenting adults, who cares? It's none of my business, it's none of your business, and it's certainly not the business of the United States government. That's the truth about that. I continue. I saw no evidence of child abuse whatsoever. Clearly, the FBI aided the media, demonized the Branch Davidians in an attempt to dehumanize them. And dehumanization of the enemy is one of the prerequisites for genocide. Given that the congressional committee charged with investigating Waco had access to all the material presented in this film, the investigation can only be considered a farce and a travesty. With rare exceptions, the hearings are shown to be nothing more than a compilation of lies and perjury combined with a lot of self-serving political grandstanding. What does stand out, and what gives the film its name, is that neither the ATF nor the FBI ever had a detailed, organized plan of attack, that there were never any formal rules of engagement, and that no contingency plans for failure of the raids, injuries, fire, or other foreseeable problems were ever made. While some have commented that the film appears biased against the government, all the involved agencies were invited to participate, to be interviewed, and to present their side of the story. They all refused. And the producers are careful to state that they have no partisan agenda, that their goal is to reopen debate on Waco. They appear almost apologetic about the damaging evidence they have collected and state they wish someone could or would disprove their findings. And they emphatically do not wish to be associated with, quote, right-wing conspiracy nuts, end quote. It is, of course, impossible to do justice to a nearly three-hour film in a review. Despite its length, I found it compelling and not at all boring or dragging. Technically, the visuals are mostly dependent on the quality of the archival film, although the sound levels could use some work. The musical score was dramatic and quite effective. The film includes views of the charred and mutilated bodies of some who died at Waco, which I found appropriate, but may be too graphic for some. You need to see Waco, the Rules of Engagement. So does every American of every political persuasion. For the past 4 years, Remember Waco has been a rallying cry for the, quote, political right, end quote, and gun owners. In response, they have been laughed at, dismissed, and even accused of being anti-government terrorists. What this film shows is human beings being methodically gassed and then burned. Anyone and everyone who has ever vowed never again needs to view this film and renew that vow. This is absolutely not a film to celebrate. There is now evidence that people within our government are guilty of genocide and crimes against humanity and that they engaged in a huge cover-up. This should sadden and sicken each of us, and it should also motivate us to find ways to prevent such a tragedy from occurring ever again. If we do not, we become accessories to these crimes. Waco has not yet been accepted for commercial release, although negotiations are underway. If you want to see this film, ladies and gentlemen, if you feel others should see this film, then you will have to act. Write to Sundance and thank them for making this film available. When you consider who holds the power at Sundance, it is rather remarkable that Waco was even shown. Encourage them to support its general release. If you have contacts with any film distribution companies, ask them to distribute this film. Write letters to the editors of newspapers and magazines. Tell everyone you know. If there is a demand and it appears profitable to distribute this documentary, Hollywood will most likely cooperate. Remember, folks, that this is not about partisan politics. Never was. Right versus left, gun rights, or other divisive issues. This is now and has always been about our unalienable constitutional rights to religious freedom, freedom from unreasonable search and seizure, and above all, the freedom not to be murdered by our own government, not to mention all of the other freedoms guaranteed to us by the Constitution for the United States of America. And this ought to get some of you real white supremacists out there hopping. As the Talmud commands, quote, thou shalt not stand idly by the blood of thy brother, end quote. Further information, ladies and gentlemen, is available at http://www.waco93.com. That's http://www.waco93.com. And remember, this was written by Sarah Thompson, a medical doctor, and she's given full credit, as she deserves. And we have permission, and we'll be printing this in the next issue of Veritas. Remember, it's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement. Now, I don't have the address of Sundance here at all, but I think you could write to Sarah Thompson, M.D., at P.O. Box 271231, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84127-1231. That's Sarah Thompson, M.D., P.O. Box 271231, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84127-1231. And ask her for the address of Sundance. I haven't seen this film. It's not available to the public. Unless it's being shown somewhere near you, you're not going to see it either. Unless you do put pressure on Sundance to make this available in videotape form to video rental stores and for sale to the public. So please do that. Please follow through on that. What do you think about that, Connie?
Oh, I think it's very important. I would love to see this movie.
I would, too. All the work that we've done to bring Waco to the attention of the American people. And I've got to tell you, folks, all of your vilification of Linda Thompson is not warranted. It's misplaced. And, in fact, it's despicable in my eyes, because if she had not come out with her videotape entitled Waco the Big Lie, there would never have been any congressional hearings. Nobody would. Really paying attention to what really happened down there. I couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it. I heard people who, for all intents and purposes, were good, normal American people, many of them called themselves devout Christians, tell me that, they were just a bunch of religious fanatics. They got exactly what they deserved. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Coming out of the mouths of Americans and Christians, Jesus Christ never taught anything like that, I can guarantee. It's amazing. Let's go back to the phones. 520-333-4578 is the number. Take your calls and see what you've got to say about this or anything else that you may or may not want to talk about. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is this Bill?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Bill. This is Sherry calling from Texas.
Hi, Sherry. You need to turn off your radio.
Okay. Larry, turn it off.
Isn't it amazing how we can hear that?
I'm sorry. I was in the other room, too. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm really, really new at this. I've just been listening to your program for about a month now, and I'm wondering if you know anything about a 501c church, because I've been told that the government actually regulates the churches.
Yes. 501c3 is what you're talking about. It's a nonprofit organization. And churches and ministers and pastors and priests are pressured into making their church a 501c3 organization, and then the government tells them what they can preach, what they can't preach, what political process they can be involved in and what they can't. And the truth is, they can't be involved in anything. And if they step out of line, they just destroy their church.
Well, I've been a member of this church practically all my life, and just over the past 2 years, they have done almost a complete 180 on all the foundations of our beliefs. And they've lost about 40,000 members, including me, and I'm wondering if perhaps this 501c status has something to do with it, because I've never known anything about this.
That's usually exactly how it's done. They force them but you know something, a real person who really believed would never do that. So when you have ministers and church government that is allowing that to happen, what they have done is they have given in to the New World Order.
Well, that's kind of devastating.
What you personally are going to do about it is up to you.
Right. Well, I personally have a conviction to follow Christ, but it's just very disappointing because I believed in my church, too. So it's kind of a big turnaround for me, and I really don't know what to do now.
Well, just remember that all of these huge organized churches all over the world, they're not the church that Christ talked about.
Right. That's one thing I have been learning.
Wherever two or more gather in my name.
I'm glad you said that. That helped a lot.
That's his church.
It kind of feels like you're all alone out there sometimes, so.
Tell me about it. start doing what I'm doing, and you'll find out how alone you really are.
Well, I thank you very much, and I personally look at you as one of God's watchmen for the rest of us who are struggling to come along with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I do not speak for God. I'm just a messenger based upon what I have learned, truth versus lies, and I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody whispers in my ear. I believe and trust in God and just do it if it is right. If it is not right, get away from it as quickly and as far away as you possibly can.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. You know, I believe wholeheartedly in the protection of the freedoms that are granted to us by our Creator. And you have the right to believe in whatever religion you want to believe in and worship at the altar of your choice, whatever God you want to worship. And I'll fight for your right to do that. What I will not countenance is trying to force others to believe like you or like me or anyone else. I don't believe that that's right. What am I doing here? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah.
I'm pushing all the wrong buttons, huh, Connie?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Jackie Collins.
Yes, I recognize your voice.
Okay. Well, I called because the caller just before me wanting to know about 501c3 churches.
Uh-huh. You did a whole broadcast.
I did, and if she would like to send me, I've got that also
What do you charge for your tapes?
Oh, the tapes. Well, $12 because there are two shows on each tape, and I can also send her a hard copy of that, Bill.
Okay. I recommend that people who really don't understand it, they'll get the tapes because you explained it very well. Are they transcripts of the tapes?
Well, no. No, I took the hard copy, and then, of course, I do a lot of editorializing.
Yeah, that's
why I'm on the program.
Well, that's what's so good about it is you explain it where somebody just had the documentation, which they need to get also, so that they can prove it to others. But if they're just starting out trying to understand this and all they have is the documentation, they may not really understand it so well. So it's best to have somebody explain it. So why don't you tell them how they can get tapes of those two particular broadcasts of yours.
Okay, well, just to send a $12 donation to Jackie Patru, and that's P-A-T-R-U, and in care of P.O. Box 190, Millerton, that's M like Mary, I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936, and just ask for the program on the 501c3 churches, and I'll send the tape, and I'll also send the hard copy with that.
Fantastic.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. Jackie has a broadcast that airs later on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, Monday through Thursday nights at 6 Pacific, 7 Mountain, 8 Central, and 9 Eastern Standard Time. I recommend that you all listen to it. And if you're an affiliate station and you're not carrying her broadcast, I recommend that you start, because it's one of the best there is. 520-333-4578 is the number, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about, or you can comment on what you've heard. And, well, I know what we have to do. We need to go do this right now, and then we'll be right back to either go to the phones or go to the, the what you call it here. So let's do this, and then we'll go directly to the phones.
When you rush around in hopeless circles, searching everywhere for something true, you're at the age of not believing when all the make-believe is true. When you set aside your childhood heroes and your dreams...
See, folks, you always thought this music was for children. And I'm here to tell you that none of it is.
And worst of all, you doubt yourself. You're a castaway where no one hears you, on a barren isle in a lonely sea. Where did all the happy endings go? Where can all the good times be? You must face the age of not believing, doubting everything you ever knew, until at last you start believing there's something wonderful in you.
The Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. And I'm not going to dwell on this. You all know the number. You know who they are. You know what you're supposed to do. And those of you who haven't done it, do it. 1-800-289-2646. Let's go directly to the phones here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Steve from Michigan. Great show, great call-ins this evening, as usual. Any information on WRMI getting FCC approval to turn those antennas around so the propagation will be such that the rest of the world can hear you?
I have no idea, but I know that some people in Australia are listening right this moment.
Yep, it all depends on what that ionosphere is doing, sir. I just hadn't heard any further updates on that in the last couple of weeks. I was wondering how Uncle Sugar was going to handle that. Carry on, sir. Great show, Bill.
Thank you. Well, if he knows that I'm on WRMI, he's not going to like it one bit. So who knows what's going to happen. But I would suggest you call WRMI and talk to them, and they'll be happy to fill you in on what they're doing and where they're at in whatever process they're at. I really don't know anything about it, to tell you the truth. I broadcast to whoever can hear me. This is a broadcast to the entire world with the message that if we lose our freedom in this country, the entire world goes back into slavery. And there's a lot of people out there who have been fighting for freedom for many years, and they have just gotten a taste of it. No one on this earth has ever been as free as the American people, and they'd all like to be. That's why they come here. Isn't it amazing that so many of them come here and try to change it? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Michelle calling.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks. I thought you might want to give your listeners the email address for Sundance.
Oh, okay. Go
Are you
ahead.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. All one
wait,
word, lowercase, everything.
Wait a minute. Let Connie write this down, because some people are going to call. I know they will. Write it on the second sheet there. Okay.
Okay. First word, all one word, all lowercase. Talkback, T-A-L-K, B as in boy, A-C-K, Talkback. Then the at symbol, And then here's two words all run together, Sundance Channel.
Okay.
.com.
Okay.
Talk back at Sundance Channel, all one word, .com.
Wonderful. Thank
okay?
you.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
520-333-4578. It's going to take one or two more calls, and then we're going to do something to give everybody a little bit of good cheer. I think it'll give everybody good cheer. Made me laugh. Made Connie laugh. In fact, we guffawed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Bob from the great state of New Hampshire. I was calling in a couple of shows. Oh, last week I heard on one of your shows about the oath Clinton took and how he omitted the part about defending the Constitution.
No, he didn't omit it.
He didn't. That proved to be false?
Yeah. You missed the broadcast. I think it was the very next day that I set that straight and read the oath that he actually took, which is in the Constitution, by the way.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't do that the night that they called in is because I didn't see the inauguration, and I didn't know if they were telling the truth or not. And until I investigated and found out, there was nothing that I could say about it.
It's funny because you had two different people call in, both confirming, you know, that they heard it, and both turned out to be wrong. And it just goes to show you have to check everything.
Absolutely.
You can't believe 10 people if they're telling you.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the update. I'll let somebody else get on, but I just wanted to make sure, because if it was true, it would have been astounding.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Don't go away. What is the motto of New Hampshire?
Live free or die.
Live free or die. I love it. I knew that, but I know that a lot of people out there don't know it, and I wanted them to hear it. The Constitution for the state of New Hampshire grants you something that would drive the liberals right up the tree. What is it?
Well, it grants us the right to keep and bear arms.
What else?
God,
don't tell me. I know more about your Constitution than you do.
Well, you might on this point. I don't know.
Grants you the right of revolution.
Yes, it does do that.
Should the government turn out to be oppressive or tyrannical or to go against the people, in the Constitution for the state of New Hampshire, it grants the people the right of revolution.
Yeah, and
is that right, Connie?
Yes, I read it.
Okay.
It's that's also in the Declaration of Independence, but...
Yes.
Which,
by the way, is the first document in law of the United States of America.
Exactly. You know, up here, I believe Live Free or Die came out of actually a letter I think John Stark wrote. And, you know, there's more to it than just that Live Free or Die phrase.
Yeah.
And,
well, there has to be. In the first place, if you're not willing to die for freedom, it doesn't even mean anything anyway.
We've had socialists up here try to actually change the motto.
Yeah, I bet they do. I bet it drives them livid right up the wall.
I saw it every license plate.
In their straight jackets. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, well, appreciate talking with you, and I do appreciate the show. I've got you on satellite. Try to tape you every night. Sometimes I get home a little bit late and don't quite get the beginning, but we're doing all right.
Great.
Thanks, Bill. Talk to you later.
Thank you for calling. Okay, I'm going to do this. Don't call now, folks, because I'm going to do this, and I think you're going to like it. If you just like it just a little bit, it's going to make your day. This is called 722-4822, and it was written by Patrick Hannafin. Patrick Hannafin. And it is hilarious. So listen very carefully. I know you're going to love it. You know, just let it carry you into a better mood, because sometimes we just need to feel better. Okay, here we go. Listen carefully, folks. Now get this. I was sitting at my desk when I remembered a phone call I had to make. I found the number and dialed it. A man answered nicely, saying, "Hello?" I politely said, "This is Patrick Hannafin, and could I please speak to Robin Carter?" Suddenly, the phone was slammed down on me. I couldn't believe that anyone could be that rude. I tracked down Robin's correct number and called her. She had transposed the last two digits after I hung up with Robin. I spotted the wrong number still lying there on my desk. I decided to call it again. When the same person once more answered, I yelled, "You're a jerk!" and hung up. Next to his phone number, I wrote the word "jerk" and put it in my desk drawer. Every couple of weeks, when I was paying bills or had a really bad day, I'd call him up. He'd answer, and then I'd yell, "You're a jerk!" It would always cheer me up. Later in the year, the phone company introduced caller ID. This was a real disappointment for me. I would have to stop calling the jerk. Then one day I had an idea. I dialed his number, then heard his voice. "Hello?" I made up a name. "Hi, this is Herman with the telephone company, and I'm just calling to see if you're familiar with our caller ID program." He went, "No," and slammed the phone down. I quickly called him back and said, "That's because you're a jerk," and hung up. And the reason I took the time to tell you this story is to show you how, if there's ever anything really bothering you, you can do something about it. Just dial 722-4822. The old lady at the mall really took her time pulling out of the parking space. I didn't think she was ever going to leave. Finally, her car began to move, and she started to very slowly back out of the stall. I backed up a little more to give her plenty of room to pull out. "Great," I thought. "She's finally leaving." All of a sudden, this black Camaro came flying up the parking aisle in the wrong direction and pulls right into her space. I started honking my horn and yelling, "Hey, you can't just do that, buddy. I was here first." Well, the guy climbed out of his Camaro, completely ignoring me. He walked toward the mall as if he didn't even hear me. I thought to myself, this guy's a jerk. There's sure a lot of jerks in this world. I noticed he had a for sale sign in the back window of his car. So I wrote down the number, then I hunted for another place to park. A couple of days later, I'm at home, sitting at my desk. I had just gotten off the phone after calling 722-4822 and yelling, "You're a jerk!" It's really easy to call him now, since I have his number on speed dial. I noticed the phone number of the guy with the black Camaro lying on my desk and thought I'd better call this guy, too. After a couple of rings, someone answered the phone and said, "Hello?" I said, "Is this the man with the black Camaro for sale?" "Yes, it is." "Can you tell me where I can see it?" "Yes, I live at 1802 West 34th Street. It's a yellow house and the car is parked right out front." I said, "What's your name?" "My name is Don Hansen," he said. "When's a good time to catch you, Don?" "I'm home in the evenings." "Listen, Don, can I tell you something?"
"Yes."
"Don, you're a jerk!" And I slammed the phone down. After I hung up, I added Don Hansen's number to my speed dialer. For a while, things seemed to be going better for me. Now, when I had a problem, I had two jerks to call. Then after several months of calling the jerks and hanging up on them, the whole thing started to seem like an obligation. It wasn't just as enjoyable as it used to be. I gave the problem some serious thought and came up with a solution. First, I had my phone dial jerk number one. A man answered nicely, saying, "Hello?" I yelled, "You're a jerk!" But I didn't hang up this time. The jerk said, "Are you still there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Stop calling me." I said, "No." He said, "What's your name, pal?" I said, "Don Hansen."
"Where do you live?"
1802 West 34th Street. "It's a yellow house and my black Camaro's parked out front."
"I'm coming over right now, Don. You'd better start saying your prayers."
"Yeah, like I'm really scared, jerk." And I hung up. Then I called jerk number two. He answered, "Hello?" I said,
"Hello, jerk."
He said, "If I ever find out who you are..."
"Yell what?"
"I'll kick your butt.
Well, here's your chance. I'm coming over right now, jerk, and I hung up. Then I picked up the phone and called the police. I told them a big gang fight was going down at 1802 West 34th Street. After that, I climbed into my car and headed over to 34th Street to watch the whole thing. I turned onto 34th Street and parked my car into the shade of a tree half a block from jerk number two's house. Wow. There were two guys fighting out front. Suddenly, there were about 12 police cars and a helicopter. The police wrestled the two men to the ground and hauled them away. A couple of months went by, and I get a call for jury duty. I was picked to be on a trial of two guys charged with disorderly conduct. And as luck would have it, it happened to be the same two guys. I might have influenced the jury, because when they announced the verdict, they said, "We, the jury, find the defendants to be guilty, and a couple of jerks." I thought that was just hilarious, and I thought that all of you should hear it. And so there it is. I hope that it sort of helps your day to be a little bit better than it was. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And I'll puff, and I'll boom your house down. Oh, these are great. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Doug in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi.
Hi, great show again.
Thank you.
I appreciate you keeping the two-hour format, too. One question, I was just curious is if you've heard anything with that business with Paul Darwin and John Stephenson. Being charged for the murder of Gleason here in Michigan in Hillsdale.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Darling, but I can tell you right now that John Stephenson couldn't kill anybody if somebody had a gun pointed to his head and made him. It's just out of the realm of possibility. He had told me long before that the feds were trying to pin some murder on him because two guys had come stay to his house, and then they left, and he didn't know where they went. And they were trying to say that he had killed one of them. And, I know John Stephenson personally. He is a nervous wreck half the time, and the other half the time he's absolutely insane.
And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner. It's just his personality. He is just such a nervous person. He couldn't kill anybody and keep from telling everybody immediately after he did it. So, yeah, we're well aware of it.
Yeah, I know Paul Darling. I don't know him all that well, but I do know him. I've met him a few times. And, you know, a couple of times that I met him, it seemed kind of out of character for him, too, you know, to be involved in something like that. But I just thought it was a real strange situation because I know, as far as I understand, nobody has seen the body yet. In other words, just the coroner.
Well, what we suspect is that there is no body.
Yeah, they said that they cremated it, too. So.
Well, that's what they said. But yeah. They're going to have to produce a body at the trial or the evidence that they absolutely had a body and that it was absolutely who they claimed it to be. And I don't think they can do that.
Well, I was just curious if you know, you've heard anything on there. But, well, I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. Yeah. Well, 520-333-4578. We're winding down toward the end of this hour. We've got about six more minutes to go, so let's fill it up with your calls and see what you've got to say on this fine day. 520-333-4578. And if you can't get through because it's busy, call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646 and talk to them about how you can get your hands on some real money. Ask for the current copy of the newsletter. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time, because if they hadn't been sponsoring it for the last 4.5 years, you probably wouldn't be listening to this broadcast. They're the ones, by the way, folks, who got us back on the air within 24 hours after they burned WWCR to the ground in an attempt to shut me up. Not anybody else, me. It was me they were after. And it didn't work. 520-333-4578 is the number. And, Connie, why don't you tell us a little bit about this town that we live in here? Because most people haven't ever seen a little town like this.
No.
Oh, that's what you're pointing at. Okay, go ahead.
He had my mic turned off. This is a little town in the mountains of Arizona, and we get snow, and Bill had to come pick me up a couple times because I don't have four-wheel drive, and I couldn't make it up his hill. This place is pretty fun. We don't have a bowling alley, and we don't have Walmart or any malls. We just have one grocery store and one little family-owned store that we go to, and unless we want to drive over to Phoenix or up to Sholo and go to Walmart. And it's actually a nice little town to live in. The main industry here is logging, and they have a sawmill, and within a half hour, 45-minute drive, they have a paper mill that the sawmill provides for too, so
converts the logs into Veritas newspaper.
That's right. And it's there's ski slopes around, and so we have more than our fair share of hotels to entice the skiers with. And
actually, not hotels like most of you would think of a hotel. What she means is Best Western Motel or things like that. Those are hotels here. You see, this is a very small place.
Yeah.
It's like America used to be all over about 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and it's just very beautiful, and we really enjoy living here. We've been out here for about 2 years now.
Let's go to the phone.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yes?
This is Charles over in the Williams, Oregon. Is there any chance that your program could be replayed in the evening for the people in the West?
Well, the limiting factor is phone bills to the uplink. Every hour we're on the air, it costs us between $9 and $10. So if I'm on the air 2 hours every day, and this has nothing to do with the satellite costs or the costs of operating the network or the costs for the shortwave broadcast. I'm just talking phone bill. So if we're on the air 2 hours each day at $10 an hour for 1 week, how much is that?
A lot of money.
Yeah, you better believe it. It's $100, isn't it?
Okay. I was glad to hear you say you saw that smirk on Clinton's face when he talked. I noticed it and tried to tell people about it, but I didn't get much results from them. But
yeah, it's like he's laughing at us all the time.
That's what I thought.
It is.
Hey, anyway, what the price of gold has gone down so very badly. Is there any chance that any of the people from Swiss American could get on and talk with you one of these days?
Well, that's a possibility, but if I were you, I wouldn't wait. If gold is down, that's the time to buy it. The price of gold is affected only by the amount of paper money in circulation and the confidence in the counterfeit paper money that the people have. So if the price of gold is down, it means they have a lot of confidence in the phony, counterfeit, worthless paper money right now. That's the time to buy gold, because when the paper money eventually collapses, and it always does, then gold goes up.
But the article I just read said that the fact that so many of the European countries have to comply with the new union of
Europe. Wait a minute. That's propaganda. That is not true. And there are countries in Europe that are telling the European Union to go fish right now, that they don't want to be a part of it. They don't want one currency, and they're having big problems.
Right.
Nobody wants you to know that. That's
sure.
The truth.
Well, I thought it'd be nice to have one of them talk to us about it anyway.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
While I'm remembering it, we will be running the show that we did yesterday, that we had problems with sound on the satellite. We will be rerunning that tomorrow in its entirety from beginning to end, simply because it's such an important topic. It is the primary method of control of the sheeple and of countries and of populations, and so I think that you need to hear it. And a lot of people weren't able to hear it clearly, because we had some sound problems, and I think it has something to do with the phone lines and the weather, because we didn't change anything here, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Mitch from Mississippi.
Hi.
I'm so glad to hear you again, man. I got your card in the mail the beginning of the week, yesterday, in fact.
Uh-huh.
Really, really excited about that. I've been searching for you all over the place and had to put up a new aerial and all to get you, but I'm glad to be back with you, man.
Well, good. Thank you.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Well, folks, it's that time. We've got to go.
Thank you, and come hear us again.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every, and I do mean every single one of you, and may God save this republic.
I can see what's happening. What? And they don't have a clue. Who? They'll fall in love. And here's the bottom line. Our trio's down to two.
Oh.
The sweet caress of twilight. There's magic everywhere. And with all this romantic atmosphere, disaster's in the air.
About my past, impossible. She turned away from me.
She's holding back, she's hiding. But what I can't decide. Why won't he be the king I know he is? The king I see inside.
Perfect harmony with all of me.
fall in love tonight. It can be assumed his every day's with us are history. In short, our path is doomed.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried by WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 9955 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
We now return you to all oldies, most of the time.
I saw you.